Ahead and open up to Mark chapter 14 and keep your fingers there as we begin. Just a brief introduction to where we're at. We are in the last week of the life of Jesus Christ. More than likely, we're in Wednesday of that Passion Week. We have seen all that has transpired up until this point. Jesus, the prior weekend, had been anointed by Mary, the sister of Lazarus, with oil that he said was to commemorate his upcoming burial. The last few weeks of the life of Jesus, in the minds of his disciples, has been very challenging. As Jesus is talking about his upcoming death, burial, and what I believe they do not hear is of his resurrection. This has been very troubling, as we have seen, to young Judas Iscariot. Probably the most trusted of the disciples from the vantage point of the other 11. He was the holder of the money. He was the treasurer. And as we saw last week, he's in the process of making plans to betray the Lord to the priests and the scribes. This is a very interesting week, a very exciting week for the nation of Israel. It is Passover week. Passover being a celebration that lasted 7 to 8 days. Probably their oldest and most important days or celebrations throughout the year. People would travel from all over the world to come back home to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. On Monday of Passover week, a lamb was chosen for each family. A perfect, unblemished lamb for them to take to the temple, to have it sacrificed on behalf of that family. In celebration of what happened some many, many, many years before with Moses and the children of Israel as they were held captive by Egypt. As you all recall, at that time, it was in the midst of the plagues that God was throwing upon Egypt. 9 plagues had come. 9 plagues had been ignored. After each plague, Moses would go before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Upon the 10th plague, God warned Moses to have all the children of Israel prepare to go and slaughter a lamb in sacrifice, to take the blood of that lamb and paint the doorposts of each house. For that night, the hand of God would pass over Egypt, taking with it the firstborn of every family that did not have the blood painted over the doorposts. As Moses and the children of Israel waded through that night, they feasted on that lamb that had been slain. And during this week, as Jesus is preparing this weekend for the Passover, and all the everything that went along with that. Now, Jesus and his disciples would celebrate the Passover dinner on Thursday evening. And this isn't it's not contradictory to anyone that would say, but the Passover was held on Friday. Because according to Jewish writings in the Talmud, Galilean Jews would celebrate Passover dinner on Thursday, while Judean Jews celebrated on Friday. And this is important because Jesus celebrated what would be the last meaningful Passover, while on Friday becoming the new Passover. Jesus, who would eat lamb on Thursday night, would become the lamb late Friday afternoon. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. Read with me, if you would, Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 26. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, "Surely not I." And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, may we ask your blessing upon this reading of your word. Father, may you transform these words on paper into words of life today, transforming our hearts so that we may see you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, verse 14 more than likely begins late on Wednesday. And the Lord sends two of his disciples. And he gives them specific instructions. They have no clue where they're going. They're going to this upper room to prepare for the Passover feast. And the reason why they don't know where they're going is because Judas, at this point, can't know where they're going. Because remember, he's in plans of delivering Jesus to the authorities. And the authorities don't want his arrest, his capture, to make any waves in the community. It needs to be done quietly and secretly. And really, what better place would there have been than this meeting of the 12 together for dinner for this to happen? So we see this kind of clandestine operation to set up for dinner. So he sends them, tells them to go into the city. They'll meet a man carrying a pitcher. And Jesus said to follow him. And wherever he goes, then ask for the owner of the house. And pretty much say, my master needs to know if the room is ready so that we may use it. Anything beyond what's written here in Scripture is just speculation. I mean, we can speculate that maybe Jesus had made prior arrangements. We can speculate that the Spirit of God is talking to these people. Doesn't really matter. What matters is they end up in this upper room, in this place. And the two disciples that go ahead on this Wednesday evening, they stay, and they're the ones that are getting the room ready and getting things prepared for the next day. Verse 16 says the disciples went out, came to the city, found it just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. This is very similar to the event at the beginning of the week where Jesus is getting ready to ride into Jerusalem. And the disciples go to find the donkey, just as Jesus said. So the preparation for the Passover feast is made. Starting with verse 17, we see the 12 coming together. So Jesus and the other 10 join the two that are in the house. And it says, as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jewish tradition had, especially for a long meal, which a Passover meal would last hours. It wasn't anything near what our common, or at least my common, Thanksgiving meal is, where hours and hours go into preparation. Everybody sits down for 10 to 15 minutes, and we belch, and we get up, and we go watch football. This is not what happened. The men were around the table, their head lounged at the table with their feet stretched out away from the table. It made for a comfortable environment to sit around and talk and do everything else that went along with the Passover meal. For you see, during this meal, it was done in stages. There was bread. Or they would begin with prayer, and then they would sing the Hallel out of the Psalms. So they would pray. They would sing. They would eat. They would talk. And the process kept going over and over again. It is said that the Passover meal could be enjoyed by as few as 10 and as many as 20. And Jesus, with his 12 disciples, made a perfect amount of people for this meal. The lamb that was slain would be eaten then by those participating in the dinner. And all of the lamb had to be finished and eaten. So as they sit here, they're reclining, they're talking. In the midst of the talk, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me. One of you who is eating with me." Seems kind of like a strange topic of conversation just to pop up. One of the men at that table would have kind of an aha moment. Oh, he knows. While the other 11 are very much confused. In so much as even asking themselves, is it I? I mean, can you imagine Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the rest? The surprises. The look on their faces. Here's the man that they have lived with, traveled with, ate with for up to 3 years. They have placed their entire life and future into this man. And they're asking themselves, is it I? And I kind of believe that while they're saying, is it I, they're also looking around at everybody else. Is it you? And I kind of have a sinking feeling that none of them looked at Judas and said, is it you? Because as I said, he was the most trusted of the 12. So in this atmosphere of doubt and fear, Jesus answers the question. And he says to them, it is one of the 12. It is one of you. And it's the one who dips with me in the bowl. Now they would have had some type of unleavened bread, probably a flat bread. I kind of imagine like, the only thing that comes to my mind is like maybe a pita and hummus, you know. But it's something similar to that. They had a dip on the table that was sort of pasty, made out of nuts and whatnot. And there was probably, it's kind of like when you go to the Mexican restaurant and they come and they bring you a little thing of salsa that you and three other people share, you know, and then the other four people. It's probably something like that on the table. This dip was placed in a way that a couple people would have access to it. My thinking is, as Jesus is saying this, that Jesus' hand with his bread is in the bowl, and Judas' hand with his bread is probably there also. Because Jesus says, the one who dips with me in the bowl. this would have been, Judas, at the point where Jesus says, one of you will betray me, knew that he was found out. Knew that the Lord knew what was going on. But at that point, it was just between him and the Lord. As Jesus points out, it's the one that dips with me, then the other 11 know who it is. And Jesus makes a statement, for the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. Everything that's transpiring up until this point, everything that has transpired in the life of Jesus Christ has been pre-planned by God Almighty from the beginning. The vast majority of it has been prophesied in the Old Testament. Even this bit with a betrayer is prophesied back in Psalms. So nothing happens that's not supposed to happen. It's to go just as it is written. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. John MacArthur makes the comment of this statement that it is the greatest statement in all of Scripture referring to man's responsibility for sin. Even though everything has happened to the predetermined plan of God, woe to that man who betrays. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. We talk of degrees of punishment in hell. And who deserves what? And we would say, surely Adolf Hitler and all his atrocities will be in the hottest furnace in hell. I contend that Judas and those like him will be the ones that are struggling to a higher capacity than anyone else in hell. For Judas knew the truth. Judas lived with the truth. And Judas rejected that truth. And that by far to me is the worst sin that anyone can commit. To have been told the truth of God and to reject it. Thank God for His forgiveness. It would be better that one had never been born. So at this point, as the other Gospels will point out, Judas dismisses himself and he leaves, because we go straight into the institution of the Lord's Supper. And Judas would not have been present for this, as the Lord's Supper is only for true believers. The Bible says that while they were eating, now again, they're in the midst of the meal. Food is on the table. While they're eating, he takes some bread. And he prays over it. And he gives it to his disciples. And he says, take it. This is my body. This was not something that was usual for the Passover meal. This is not what every Jewish household on this Passover was doing. This was something new. This is my body. And the correlation would be very fresh in their minds as they had just been eating the meat of the lamb. And Jesus says, this is my body. Now, we've got to be careful in this. Some people take this very, very literally. The Roman Catholic Church, they actually believe that when they are taking communion, that that piece of bread or wafer, that that actually turns into the body of the Lord. They believe with the wine that somehow, miraculously, that blood, that wine turns into the blood of Christ. To the point now that the cup isn't even offered to parishioners anymore in the fear that they may spill some of the blood of Christ. The Lutheran Church, they didn't like that concept very much. So they tweaked it just a little bit. The elements don't physically turn into Christ's blood and body, but they spiritually turn into Christ's blood and body. In a way, the same difference. As we will celebrate the Lord's Supper today, we have this token of bread, this juice, as a symbolic symbol, that don't go together. But it's a symbol of Christ's body and blood. It's for us to remember. It's for us to go back, as he says here in verse 24, this is my blood of the covenant poured. Truly I say to you, I will never again eat of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom. Jesus says in the other Gospels and in 1 Corinthians, do this as oft as you do in remembrance of me. See, that's what the children of Israel were doing at Passover. They were remembering back to when God freed them from Egypt. It was a celebration of the work that God had done in the lives of their forefathers. And Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for us to remember back some 2,000 years ago, when the final Lamb of God gave the final sacrifice, providing for us the ultimate and final salvation. We're going to go into a time of the Lord's Supper here in just a couple minutes. The Lord's Supper is for those who know Jesus Christ. For those who have bowed their knee to Him in repentance and faith. And just like Judas was not allowed to participate, so I would ask if anyone here today has not made that commitment to Christ, please let the elements pass. It's also not for young children, which I don't see we have to worry about that this morning. But again, for us that know Christ. And we'll celebrate that here just in a second. But a couple things I want to pull out. You know, what can we apply to us today from this passage of an event so long ago? First, I want you to see the trust that Christ, that the disciples had for Christ. Sometimes, remember back when you were a kid. I mean, I think of Josh sometimes when I tell him, Josh, go do this. You know, if it's something unusual, UPS delivers the wrong package to the house. Hey, Josh, can you run this down and give it to whosever house it is? And sometimes we just have an uneasy feeling about going somewhere strange like that. Here Jesus sends two of his disciples to follow a stranger with a pitcher of water and then go ask a perfect stranger, hey, do you have a room that we're supposed to use? That's a trust that each and every one of us should have for God's Word. When God's Word tells us that we should do something, we should trust it, that it's right. Amen. The other thing, another thing we need to look at, is always being in a constant state of self-examination. And I'm not saying that we should ever doubt the power of what Christ has done for us. But rather realizing that the adversary is very, very busy working to destroy Christ's church. Judas spent some 2.5 to 3 years traveling with Christ. Judas was ready to bring the kingdom in. I believe Judas was ready to stand at the right hand of Christ in that kingdom. But when things didn't seem to go the way he thought they were going to go, Judas bailed. So many times in the life of the church, we find Judases. They show themselves in people that have been somewhat faithful for maybe a season. And then they just fade into nothing. The other 12, they wondered whether it was them. Again, not in a way that we need to doubt what Christ has done for us. But are our motives for love and service, are they for His good? Or for ours. Lastly, the fact that Christ is our final Passover lamb. Passover amongst the Jewish community still happens today. They still celebrate Passover. But this night was really the last recognized Passover. It was the last Passover that rightfully the Jews should have celebrated. For the final lamb was slain that Friday. The final lamb took his place at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And where that Passover lamb, where the lamb that was slain on the Day of Atonement merely covered the sins of the people for a year, the blood of the Lamb of God covers our sins for eternity. And we can have victory in that. We can have victory in Christ. And as we move now into a time of remembrance, into the time where we take the symbols of the body and blood of Christ, as I will bless these elements, as God will bless the elements, may we remember just what was accomplished for us. That we don't have to be lost in our sins, but we can reign with Christ forever and ever in His kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love. Lord, I thank You that Your Son was given for us. I thank You for this time in Mark that we can go back in time and see just what happened. And know that everything happened according to the divine and sovereign hand of God. That nothing that happened during the life of Christ and during His last days was of any surprise. But a sacrifice had to be made so that mankind could know You. Father, may we propagate that message to all that we know. Lord, there is a world of dying people, dying and on their way to a Christless hell. Father, we have that message. May we be obedient to it. We're thankful this morning for Jesus Christ, the final Passover Lamb, who died for us so that we might live. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.